A 14-year-old boy named Samuel was making real progress in residential care until he wasn't. Without warning, he erupted in violent outbursts, but only around one particular male teacher. The puzzle seemed unsolvable until Dr. Bruce Perry discovered something unexpected. The teacher wore Old Spice cologne, the same scent Samuel's abusive, alcoholic father had used to mask the smell of liquor. Sam's brain wasn't reacting to the teacher at all. It was responding to a ghost from his past, a sensory memory his body remembered even when his mind didn't. This is the heart of what trauma does. It rewires our brains in ways we don't consciously understand, shaping our reactions, our relationships, and our lives. The revolutionary shift proposed here isn't just semantic, it's transformative. Instead of asking, "What's wrong with you?" when someone struggles, we should ask, "What happened to you?" This single question opens a door to understanding behavior not as dysfunction, but as adaptation, not as weakness, but as survival. It reframes everything we thought we knew about problem behaviors. That child labeled with ADHD might actually be displaying hypervigilance, a brain constantly scanning for threats. The oppositional, defiant teenager might be showing resistance patterns learned from an unpredictable childhood. These aren't disorders to fix, but adaptations to understand. It reframes everything we thought we knew about problem behaviors. That child labeled with ADHD might actually be displaying hypervigilance, a brain constantly scanning for threats. The oppositional, defiant teenager might be showing resistance patterns learned from an unpredictable childhood. These aren't disorders to fix, but adaptations to understand. Your brain built itself through millions of interactions, developing from the bottom up. First came the brainstem, controlling survival functions, then the emotional midbrain, finally, the cortex, enabling complex thought. Each experience created neural connections, forming your unique codebook for interpreting reality. Trauma fundamentally alters brain architecture. Chronic childhood threat creates a hypersensitive stress response system constantly scanning for danger. This explains why two children experiencing the same school fire have completely different outcomes. A first grader with a developing stress system might develop lasting trauma, while a fifth grader with a mature brain bounces back quickly. The pattern of stress matters enormously. Consistent, nurturing care creates resilient stress systems. Chaotic, unpredictable stress creates sensitization and dysfunction. When escape isn't possible, especially for small children facing adult threats, the body dissociates, heart rate decreases, natural opioids release, and the person retreats inward. These adaptive responses become permanent settings. Children experiencing chronic unpredictability develop hypervigilance, resembling ADHD, resistance, labeled as oppositional defiance, and fight or flight behaviors leading to school suspensions. Russell Brand described his experience as an internal storm. Substances provided calm, not from the high itself, but from relief of distress. This reveals why punishment-based addiction treatment fails. Punishment increases distress, perpetuating the cycle it claims to break. Behaviors we label as problematic are actually adaptive responses to past trauma. We learn love through experience, not instinct. When caregivers consistently respond to a baby's needs with warmth, they build the neural architecture for all future relationships. These interactions create a pattern where stress is followed by regulation, distress by comfort. Consider Gloria, who grew up in foster care without experiencing love. She struggled with trauma and addiction, eventually losing custody of her daughter, Tilly. Under Mama P's guidance, a nurturing foster mother who recognized Gloria needed as much love as her daughter, both began healing. Gloria initially showed love the only way she knew, by giving candy. With support rather than punishment, she gradually developed better parenting skills, revealing something profound. Even those who never received love can learn to become loving through neuroplasticity. For infants, love is tangible action. Attentive, responsive care literally becomes their worldview about whether people are trustworthy. Without these nurturing moments, neural networks don't organize properly, creating lifelong vulnerability. Modern parenting faces a critical challenge. We're often physically present, but emotionally absent. Parents scroll through phones during meals, at playgrounds, during bedtime. To a developing brain, this signals you're not important. Powerful connections happen in small, fully present moments, brief instances of complete attention that build the relational foundation for healthy connections throughout life. Trauma transcends generations through biology and behavior. Extreme stress activates dormant genes through epigenetic changes, chemical modifications that turn genes on or off without altering DNA. An enslaved person's stress responses could transmit to descendants, creating children born with hypervigilant stress systems. The encouraging news? These changes reverse through nurturing relationships. Trauma also transmits through emotional contagion, observation, and teaching, fear patterns running through families via multiple pathways. Oprah experienced overwhelming fear of being alone at night, once fleeing her secure apartment for a hotel. Reading about a school shooting triggered a buried memory, sleeping in her grandmother's bed when her grandfather, suffering dementia, attempted to choke her grandmother. Afterward, her grandmother secured their bedroom with a chair and cans that would rattle if disturbed, leaving young Oprah vigilantly listening for danger. Understanding this connection proved profoundly healing. While trauma involves things that happened, neglect involves what didn't happen, experiences a developing brain desperately needed but never received. Romanian orphanages demonstrated this devastatingly. Children raised in extreme deprivation developed persistent deficits affecting employment, health, and relationships into adulthood. Even wealthy families inflict emotional neglect by outsourcing childcare without understanding that infant brains require repetitive experiences with a few safe, stable relationships during the first year. What didn't happen matters as much as what did. Resilience develops through connection and experience, not genetics. Our regulatory networks strengthen when caregivers consistently meet infant needs through controllable, moderate challenges. Proper dosing matters. Challenges must activate moderate stress without overwhelming. For traumatized children in persistent fear, even moderate challenges feel insurmountable. Rhythm profoundly aids regulation. Dancing, walking, massage, and repetitive activities help regulate even severe PTSD. Traditional healing understood this. Connection to clan and nature, dance and music, meaningful belief systems, and plant medicines with elder guidance. Modern treatment overemphasizes medication and cognitive approaches while undervaluing connectedness and rhythm. 4-year-old Allie, who witnessed her parents' deaths, developed post-traumatic wisdom through relationships, extended family, church, sports, trauma-sensitive teachers, finding meaning through hardship. Modern society expects single parents to meet all developmental needs, contradicting evolutionary reality. Humans evolved with 4-to-1 caregiver-to-child ratios, not today's inverted ratios. Children aren't resilient balls returning to original shape. They're malleable, permanently changed by experience. While people can build resilience after trauma, no one emerges completely unscathed. Our education, mental health, and criminal justice systems often re-traumatize those they're meant to help. Between 30 to 50% of public school children have experienced 3 or more adverse childhood experiences, with trauma memories easily triggered by classroom cues. A student might react aggressively to a teacher resembling an abusive parent, leading to suspensions that fuel the school-to-prison pipeline. Trauma-informed schools see dramatic improvements by emphasizing regulation and connection before reasoning, incorporating movement and rhythmic activities that balance overactive stress response systems. Activities often considered elective, sports, music, art, should be central because they engage the whole brain and provide regulatory benefits. Modern life creates sensory overload our brains weren't designed to handle. We evolved in bands of 60 to 100 people, but today face urban environments, artificial light, processed foods, and constant stranger exposure. Household sizes have plummeted from 63% with five or more people in 1790 to 60% with two or fewer today. Combined with excessive screen time and declining family meals, these changes have produced a more anxious, depressed population. College-age adults are 30% less empathetic than 20 years ago. Our brains evolve to manage 80 to 100 relationships, but urban life forces us to assess hundreds of strangers daily, exhausting our emotional bandwidth. Breaking the cycle requires understanding how our past shapes our present. Self-care isn't selfish. Dysregulated adults cannot regulate children. Oprah's reconciliation with her dying mother reveals this power. Despite their disconnected relationship, she returned to her mother's bedside and, when Mahalia Jackson's Precious Lord played unexpectedly, created space for meaningful conversation. She thanked her mother for keeping her despite difficult circumstances and assured her that it is well with my soul. This sacred moment allowed forgiveness by seeing her mother not as a failure, but as a scared young girl unprepared for parenthood. Forgiveness means giving up hope that the past could have been different. Our pain can become our power, transforming trauma into wisdom. By asking what happened to you instead of what's wrong with you, we open the door to deeper understanding and collective healing. In a disconnected world, this question becomes revolutionary, a pathway back to our fundamental humanity and toward creating communities where children develop the secure attachments they need to thrive.